It's a privilege once again to bring God's Word to you tonight. And I'm Joven Villote, one of the members of Crossroads Church of Dubai. Bago po tayo pagpatuloy sa ating gawain ngayon, I would like you to invite you to pray with me one more time. Let's pray. Father, thank you for another opportunity to come to this gathering and to hear the truth of your Word. Naway mangusap ang banal na Espiritu sa bawat puso na yung tagapakinig. Nawa maunawaan namin at mapamuhay ang iyong salita, yung banal na salita. I pray that you will remind us once again of your mercy and grace, how you have helped us in times of troubles, in times of need. Also, how you have delivered us from our sins through the giving of the life of your Son, Jesus Christ. So, salamat sa mga promises nito. Be with us right now as we come together hearing your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Malapit na po ang katapusan ng buwan. At isa lang yung ibig sabihin para sa ating mga empleyado. Sahod na naman. Marahil sa mga nakaraang linggo or araw, tayo po ay uspusang nagtatrabaho upang masustentuhan ang pamilya, makapagpadala ng pera sa Pilipinas, pambayad sa loan, o di kaya nag-iipon naman sa para sa future ng ating mga pamilya. We have probably come up a long term sa ating family to secure yung future ng mga anak, and that's really good. Marahil, iba sa atin, working overtime to maximize yung oras, yung time para makadami sa trabaho. But on the other hand, habang iba sa atin ay nag-aantay ng sahod, meron naman mga kapatiran o kaibigan nag-aantay ng trabaho or oportunidad. Maybe you have been waiting for such a long time in order to land a job at wala pa rin pong opportunities na dumadating. You are in a waiting game. Talking about issues of finances and pending job opportunities, God's Word has something to remind us tonight, mga kapatid. May gustong i-encourage sa atin si Apostle James about how we should trust God over sa resources natin and how to wait with long-temperedness. Makikita po natin ito sa passage natin sa James chapter 5 verses 1 to 12. And if you have your Bibles with you, please open it sa James chapter 5, 1 to 12. Makikita natin dito that this is James' practical teaching on false assurance of wealth and was derived and observed from Jesus' life, earthly life and ministry. He recalls yung mga katuruan nito way back from the Old Testament going to the New Testament. And even James, he benefited sa teaching of Jesus Christ about how a person should view wealth from a godly perspective. At hindi lang po ito. There are also temptations and deep struggles na itinuro sa atin ni Jesus Christ about riches or prosperity. While the Messianic Jews anticipate yung second coming ni Jesus Christ, James warned his brothers not to complain about their present condition, but be patient in all suffering and to trust Jesus Christ for their salvation. This is one of the practical ideas behind sa gustong ipahayag ni James sa atin sa kanyang mga kapatiran. And based on this thought, I believe that James instructs his readers like this. Those who trust in riches will be judged, but those who patiently trust in Christ will be blessed. Yan po yung main point natin tonight. Those who trust in riches will be judged, but those who patiently trust in Christ will be blessed. Out of this central idea, there are two commands na makikita natin and it will serve as our sub-point sa gabing ito. I want you to draw your attention sa unang sub-point or first command, that is, trust not in security, for it will fail you in the last day. So verses 1 to 6 po natin yan makikita. And yung second command naman is, wait with patience and trust in Christ. You will be blessed in the last day. Let's look at yung first command na sinasabi dito. Trust not in riches for security, it will fail you in the last day. In these verses, James presents some of the earthly treasures that have been hoarded by the rich. No? James is sure na yung mga material na possessions na to, it will not save a person, but will eventually consume them in the end. To see what James says, basahin po natin ang verse 1. Let's read. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. It seems that si James ay nag-express ng kanyang emphatically describes yung mga dreadful impacts ng mga miseries na to. Also, notice yung tone, no? Na pagka-describe ni James. It expressed a striking, condemning tone. 5 times na po ito, ginamit yung expression na to, and these are, again, sabi ko, emphatically expressed. With much exclamation, ika nga. He pointed out the results of these miseries since this word na ginamit niya dito as a subject, says this, so verse 1 is the subject na miseries. It's described by the action of what? Weeping. To weep, which is yung main verb. It means na somewhere in this present time, the rich will express a deep feelings of sadness. Why? Because of the troubles or wretchedness that will come to them in the end. Now, if I give you a definition kung ano ang itsura ng mayamang tao or a rich person looks like, probably madali natin itong ma-distinguish. All you need to know sometimes is to look at yung kanilang external aspect. No? Like yung estilo ng pananamit, gaano kagara yung kotse, gaano kalaki yung bahay, etc. Similarly, ganito din po ang pagka-describe ng word sa word na rich sa verse na to, sabi ni James. Ang mga rich ay, they are the ones having an abundance of earthly possessions that exceeds yung normal experience compared sa ating mga mahihirap. They are affluent, wealthy people. The one who doesn't need to work for a living. And they are the ones covered sa kanilang mga magagandang dazzling garments. Sabi sa verse 1 ulit. In short, wealthy persons are easily distinguished. However, you will notice na iba ang ibig na ipinapahiwatig ni Apostle James dito. In our own understanding, di ba pag mayaman ng isang tao, dapat lagi itong masaya? No? Wala dapat magiging problema. Kasi it's because andyan na lahat sa kanila. Lahat ay abot kamay. But notice the idea that James wanted the rich to know. It seems the idea of being materially rich is expressed in a counterculture kind of understanding. That no matter how wealthy they are, instead of finding joy, enjoyment and satisfaction by their riches, this will create great trouble and distress for them. So, ang tanong that we can ask the Bible regarding this issue is this. What is the Bible teaching us about wealth? Is it wrong to be prosperous? In general, the teaching of the scriptures in the area of wealth is very, very favorable or positive po ang Bible pagdating sa ganyan. Because wealth is a covenant blessing. God promised prosperity to those who would obey Him. Makikita natin ito sa Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 18. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may confirm His covenant that He swore to your fathers as it is this day. In the same book, chapter 29, verse 9, therefore keep the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. Even the Psalms talks about this. He is like a tree. So chapter 1, verse 3. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in season and its leaf does not wither. In all he does, he prospers. At hindi lang po wealth. Even poverty din po ay ito'y galing sa Panginoon. Makikita natin to sa 1 Samuel 2, chapter 2, verse 7. Sa Job 1:21. For the sake of time, I will just leave that one to you now. So even sa Old Testament, there were really great servants of God who are wealthy, like si Abraham sa Genesis chapter 13, verse 2, ano? Even si Job, and as well as King David. So in short, it's not sinful to be wealthy, nor is it sinful na mag-desire and enjoy yung mga material blessings na to na pinagkaloob sa atin ng Panginoon. However, sa New Testament, maraming passages ang tinuturo ng Bible that shows wealth as a temptation. In the ministry of Jesus Christ, He taught more about using money compared sa mga other subjects na tinuro niya. Jesus wants us not to put our hope in riches, for it will not save us in the end. And that's why si James ay in-echo niya ito, no? These teachings sa kanyang mga kapatiran. Sa Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 21, Jesus tells a parable of a rich fool who spends his time enlarging his barn and other resources para sa kanyang sariling kapakanan, and yet failed to look after his own soul. Matthew 19:24, where Jesus tells his disciples, how difficult will a rich person to enter the kingdom of God? Matthew 6:19-20, kung saan si Jesus Christ warns us not to lay our treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break and steal. This is what James is saying sa verse 2 ng passage natin. Let's read verse 2. Your riches have rotted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Now, James explains the outcome and the effects of one's riches. Ang subject na ginamit niya is riches sa verse na to. And again, it's been described by the main verb na rotted, meaning. And he says that these material things that they acquired are bare rotten fruit. So, trust not on these things because they are decaying. They won't last. Ibig sabihin ni James. So, like sa previous verse na sinabi ko sa inyo earlier based sa teaching ni Jesus Christ, these rich men depicted by the scriptures are the ones who ended up not receiving salvation because of their love of money and positions. And take note, money is not wrong, but the love of money is. Let's move on to verses 3 down to 6, where I will go quickly and give you some highlights of that verse. So verses na to, James presented some of the accusation and devastating results of the vain glory of richness. Ito yung paints a picture of a greedy and wicked man. Let's read verses 3 to 6. Your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosions will be evidence against you, and will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure in the last days. Hinto po muna tayo dyan. In verse 3, it shows an idea that indicates that yung gold and silver, no matter how beautiful they are, will eventually become rusty or become tarnished, blemish, or stain. Ang corrosion nila will be served as an evidence against you or against mga rich oppressors, and they will eat your flesh like fire. So, James is using a rhetoric expression na ang mga na-acquired na riches na to will not benefit them. It will not serve, but it will serve as an evidence against them whose own testimony ng mga rich people, will rust and devour their flesh like fire. James condemned the rich, sabi niya. You have laid up treasure in the last days, and since they've kept these treasures for their own benefit, these earthly treasures that the rich have hoarded will not save them. In-echo niya lang ulit ang ibig niya sabihin in the previous verse, but rather consume them in the day of judgment. Let's go to verse 4. You kept back by fraud the wages of your laborers, sabi niya dyan. James, again, expressed another idea in a exclamation point, or emphatically expressed when he articulated from this rich person who hoarded this riches. And the cries of the harvester have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. Now, there's a change of subject dito. No? It points out to mga laborers, wherein being portrayed again by the main verb na Christ. It implies na parang yung ang dating nito is like a vehement outcry, or sa ating vernacular term, pag sinabi natin vehement outcry, it's scream or matinding sigaw. And surely, naririnig at nakikita ng Panginoon ang mga injustice ng wickedness ng mga wicked persons na ito. Ito ay nagpapatunay ng Diyos natin ay hindi bulag at hindi nagpapabaya. That is why He appointed the time kung saan huhusgahan niya ang ginawa ng kasakiman o kabutihan ng isang tao. So verse 5 is another description that talks about a manner of possession, kung paano mamumuhay o namuhay ang isang rich person. Sabi niya, you have lived on the earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts in the day of slaughter. Again, another idea expressed like when James mentioned yung day of slaughter na to. Ang day of slaughter depicts a day of bloodbath, no? It was a day na parang, it was a day of misfortune for those who are suffering or to those who are oppressed. They are turned, the yung present circumstances nila is turned out really badly. But hindi sa mga mayayaman. Ang mga mayayaman ay patuloy pa rin na yumayaman. This idea speaks the truth about yung mga martyr Christians dati. This scene is also pictured sa Revelation chapter 18:24, in which it talks about yung shedding of blood of prophets and saints and all who have been slain on earth. James also mentions of verse 6 in connection to verse 5, you have condemned and murdered the righteous person. He does not resist you. So, what James is trying to illustrate here is a scene between sa rich oppressor and yung innocent one. Kung saan, the rich person stand as the oppressor, oppressing yung innocent one. At dahil malakas yung influence niya sa parang courtroom na to, the innocent is charged guilty. And even condemned, even to the point of death. Yet, the innocent one offered no resistance. It could be that James recalls Jesus' behavior before his oppressors. He did not resist. Instead, he has given himself like a lamb to be slaughtered. This idea has been echoed in Acts chapter 8:32 at sa Isaiah 53 verses 7-9, which talks about yung suffering Messiah. So to recap yung summary ng first command natin, we have commanded na not to trust in our riches, for it will not save us at the end. James presents to us yung mga devastating result and fleeting promises. Kaya huwag dapat tayo magtiwala sa mga material na bagay na tingin natin gives us salvation at the end or happiness. We have understood that we cannot rely entirely sa ating earthly richness in order to gain salvation, because true salvation can be attained only through our relationship with Jesus Christ. I believe that there are godly ways para sa atin i-model ang mga pagpapalang pinagkaloob sa atin ng Panginoon, di po ba? So how are we using yung God-given resources natin this time? Where do we spend mostly ang mga pagpapalang natanggap natin sa Panginoon? Are we using these resources in taking part sa pagpalago ng Ebanghelyo ni Kristo? Like supporting yung church ministry natin and helping yung ibang kapatiran who are currently suffering financially? Or ang sarili lang natin ang nakikinabang nito? I hope that we will be reminded to use our blessing as a means of blessing others instead of hoarding it. Trust God, not in your richness, to deliver you from the temptation and for the love of money. I think 1 Timothy chapter 6 verses 9 to 10 sums it all. Huh? But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, fall into snare, fall into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Today's monies will be worthless when Christ returns, mga kapatid. So we should spend our time investing the kind of heavenly treasures that will be useful in God's eternal kingdom. So trust not in riches for security. It will fail in the last day. Let's go now to the second command. Wait with patience and trust in Christ. You will be blessed in the last day. So makikita natin dito that James presents a godly response for all believers to exemplify yung how to remain peaceful and wait for the coming judgment to take place. Nasabi niya dito, every believer must strengthen their hearts and believe that Jesus will come and judge each man according to what he has done. After James turned his attention from the rich, now he is addressing yung mga restless or mga oppressed. At sa time nito, parang medyo na lumanay niya po in-address ang mga various human para sa kanila compared sa mga rich persons before. Verse 7, James says, be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and late rains. Now again, James given his brothers and sisters a specific command on how a believer should conduct themselves until the coming of Christ. Patient, the main verb natin. It's stated in an imperative mood, an active mood. Yeah, probably James referred ito sa mga undefined action from the past wherein na-witness niya kung saan there are people who suffered well and nanatiling tapat sa Panginoon, pag-antay sa Panginoon. No? So, there's already a promise given for those who believe in Christ na magbabalik siyang muli. And as you are waiting, sabi niya, you must remain calm. Patience is clearly the key idea sa paragraph na to. Yung Greek word na ginamit niya is makrothym, patient with a T. It was been expressed 4 times of verses 7 and twice a second verse 8 and 10. And the other word with patience with a CE, ito yung root na hipomon or steadfastness. Twice niya ito binanggit sa verse 11. Indeed, patience is defined as a state of remaining tranquil while awaiting an outcome. Or being patient, being steadfast, and able to endure these sufferings. This idea has been drawn out sa chapter 1, no? Kung saan naalala niyo that James encourages his readers to endure yung trials that they were expecting. The coming of the Lord refers to the messianic advent of Christ's time. Kung saan, this time, Christ will come in glory, and He will judge the world at the end of this age. So verse 7b naman, makikita natin, see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. Another metaphor na ginamit ni James of farming, no? That a farmer waiting for his precious fruit to arrive. It seems na ang pagsasaka during that time is a means of livelihood. That time, ang farmer, ang siyang nag-embodiment yung character nito of being patient. Continuing sa verse 8, same command ang ni-refer ni James sa kanyang mga kapatiran. He commanded them also to embody patience as well in their waiting. He says, you also be patient. Establish your heart for the coming of the Lord is at hand. As the farmer waits patiently for the seed to sprout and the crops to mature, believers must also wait patiently for the Lord to return and to deliver them, and to judge their oppressors. And while they wait, they need to establish yung mga puso nila. Yung sabi ni James. So how does it look like establishing their hearts? Verse 9. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. So James has already commanded his brothers to embody patience and they're waiting. But how come he brought sa kanilang attention yung, the meaning behind yung negative na command na to? No? Para sa kanila. He says, do not grumble. It seems this verse leads them to another question. What hinders the people of God from waiting with patience and perseverance? Well, one thing is that when the people of God complain to each other, ito po'y nag-hinder sa kanilang strengthening of their arms. It is true that minsan din, relating sa sitwasyon natin yan, sa pag-serve natin, sa ating family and community, we need to be guarded against yung temptation at all, being impatient, short-tempered, at yung prideful attitude natin. And mostly, maririnig at ma-witness natin ang pagiging oppressive natin minsan if we don't think the words before saying it to others. Pag impatient ng isang tao, they don't ponder into their minds the choice of words to say to others. No? Sa biglaan na lang. Which results to more grumbling or more complaining. That mostly, every time that we are under the pressure of difficult circumstances, we look in our own selfish ambition, ang pagiging self-sufficient natin. We do grumble, isn't it? And if we are honest to ourselves, maybe hindi man ito nakikita, ang pag-complain natin physically or verbally, but in your heart, you already committed these sins. This is one temptation that a follower of Jesus should overcome. This does not exemplify patience and perseverance. This does not characterize yung servant leadership ni Jesus Christ. Instead of grumbling one another, God's people are to suffer well for Christ and exercise their patience. Let's move on to verse 10. James reminded his readers of the prophets from the Old Testament who endured much suffering and patience. Sabi niya, as an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. James is pointing sa mga example na to, ng mga prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. He says to his readers as well, to take hold and grasp this example, to be patient when faced with suffering. In this context, he uses yung word na patient, no? Not only as a verb, but this time, it's a subject. A subject of what? A subject of grasping. Na ibig sabihin that the fact these prophets spoke in the name of the Lord is added to make it clear na yung suffering endured by them was a result not of wrongdoing, but specifically of their faithful adherence to the will of God. So in short, they suffer, Christian suffers, it's because, sa context ito, it's not because of sin. No? It's because of their faithful obedience sa Panginoon. Verse 11, behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard the steadfastness of Job, and how you've seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Now, James addressed his phrase with an, again, emphatic statement and highlighted the steadfastness of God's servant named Job, who suffered a severe trial and endured it, and in the end, God delivered and helped him. James's readers are very familiar sa story na to of a wealthy man named Job. No? Kaya sinare niya. Yes, Job was blessed because he endured great suffering and was the recipient of God's mercy and compassion. But take note here, James did not mention that Job was patient, but that he remained steadfast and endured suffering. We see this in Job chapter 7, 11, when Job complained against God. Job endured and he was steadfast, though he was impatient. So who's the hero of the story now? Who delivered Job in all these troubles? That is God. James then highlights some attributes ng ating Panginoon. It is the Lord who helped Job because the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Verse 12 and last. In all that James taught to his brothers, he commanded them not to swear or take an empty oath, for this nullifies their godly conduct sa harap ng Panginoon at sa harap ng mga kapatiran. Sabi niya, above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or earth, by any other thought, but oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Again, James took this matter in a serious way, no? Sa kanyang mga readers. He commanded them not to swear that they should not take an empty oath, kanino man, because this will nullify yung kanilang godly conduct sa harap ng Panginoon. And man's false oath implied it's only an invitation for them to be punished or for them to be condemned. The word oath in the Bible has been described 79 times over the Old Testament and the New Testament. Makikita natin po ito sa Numbers chapter 3 verses 2. Sabi dito, if a man vows a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by a pledge, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds from out of his mouth. Even Jesus Christ mentioned this in Matthew 5:37. No? Sabi niya, let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. And in the later parts of verse 12, makikita natin yung overall purpose. Sabi niya, so that you may not fall under condemnation. So then, the primary purpose of a person to be saved from the coming judgment is to motivate his character, yung kanyang pagiging honest sa harap ng Panginoon at honest sa kanyang mga kapatiran and ang kanyang trustworthiness. And I believe this is a common issue sa ating lahat that we are guilty of giving false oath. Di po ba? Yet we know that before we know Christ, we are worst sinners. We are all liars and ungodly sa ating nature. We defy God's command many times during the fall, sa Genesis 3. So 1 John 2:4, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. For as sinful as we are, mga kapatid, we have failed to trust and obey God in many ways. We trusted in material things, thinking na mga bagay nito ay magbibigay ng enjoyment or satisfaction sa atin. We are sinful because we are greedy in our attitudes, sa worldly conduct natin. We are impatient. We always complain to one another. And are sinful because we are guilty of offering false truth sa harap ng Diyos at sa ibang tao. Pero hindi po nagtatapos ang lahat dyan. Because hindi tayo pinabayaan ng Diyos sa ating mga kasalanan. As a compassionate and merciful God, He already established His redemptive plan to save us from our sins. He has given us a man who will save us from all our sins. The man who is rich in the heir of God's kingdom, who became poor and for sinners like us. The righteous man who for our sake became poor and needy, and who trusts God in for His deliverance. He is the one persecuted by the wicked, rich oppressors, but did not resist. Instead, He has given Himself like a lamb to be slaughtered. He is the one pointed out by James who showed an unparalleled patience before His accusers, who did not complain but prayed and loved His enemies. He is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. So put your trust in Christ. Hindi sa makamunduang bagay o kanino man. Trust Him and surely you will be saved. It is true, mga kapatid, na kung ikaw ay isang Kristiyano, it's a guarantee that you will suffer. And when you suffer, remember this, na hindi po ito nakasentro sa ating mga unfortunate situations. It is centered on God, who will act to deliver you in this momentary affliction. God will provide you mercy and compassion na hindi kayang ibigay ng mga makamundong bagay. Dahil only a true living God can deliver you and save you from all these troubles. He will be gracious to those who waited patiently and remained steadfast in their suffering. Suffer for Christ. Look to Christ. Make Jesus look good in your suffering. Because those who trust in riches will be judged, but those who patiently trust in Christ will be blessed. Manalangin po tayo. Panginoon, salamat sa inyong salita. I know marami kaming mga narinig and probably challenges. We have been receiving words tonight. And we just ask, O Lord, na ang mga narinig namin patungkol sa inyo ay hindi lang po manatili dito. But it will serve as a living testimony as the way we treat our wives, our kids, our office mates, our friends, our fellow community group. Nawa po magdala ito ng kalulatian sa iyong pangalan. Salamat po for your inerrant, sufficient truth of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.